And good to be with you on this Friday, the 2nd of May. I'd like to begin firstly by acknowledging the traditional owners of the land where Let's Talk is broadcast. I'd also like to pay my respects to our elders, both past and present. And welcome to you if you're listening to Let's Talk through the National Indigenous Radio Service or on our live stream on the web at 989fm.com.au. Well, look, last month I was sitting in a conference room on the Gold Coast listening to a presentation, and it kind of dawned on me that as a parent, I was pretty much uninformed and unaware about the illicit drugs in our community. Now, that presentation was made by Cameron Francis, a social worker with Dovetail, and he joins us on Let's Talk today. Cameron, welcome to Let's Talk.
Thanks, Karen. Thanks for having me.
Firstly, tell us a bit about yourself. Are you a born and bred Queenslander?
I am indeed. I'm born in Redcliffe, and I live just around the corner from the studio here in West End.
Okay.
I studied at University of Queensland, and so moved to West End when I went to uni, and I've stayed here ever since.
Now, I mentioned that you're a social worker, so is that something that you've always wanted to do?
I didn't really know what I wanted to do, actually, when I left high school. So I went to university and just did an arts degree to give myself some time to work it out, and then sort of fell into social work kind of naturally. It just sort of appeared before me. And that's how I ended up here.
How long have you been a social worker?
I graduated in 2001, I think it was, so nearly 15 years.
Nearly 15 years. Yeah. And predominantly with Dovetail, or have you worked with other organisations?
No, I've worked in a bunch of different organisations. I've always worked in alcohol and drug. My first social work placement was at Quiver in Fortitude Valley, and so that was working with mostly homeless people that were injecting drugs. And from there, Brisbane Youth Service, which was the homeless young people. Then after that, I went to Woodridge. I worked at Logan Youth and Family Service at Logan City for a couple of years and loved Woodridge. It was one of my favourite communities to work in. And then went out to Ipswich for 4 years, and I was an individual counsellor for young people with drug problems with Queensland Health out at Ipswich. And then in 2010, that's when Dovetail started up, and I came into the city and got that job here in Dovetail.
All right. Well, we'll talk a bit more about Dovetail, but in terms of that 15 years experience, did you have a lot of work to do with the Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander community here in Brisbane?
Yeah, there has been, because I've worked in, like, you know, Woodridge has got a really big Aboriginal community, and so is Ipswich. So I've been really lucky to work with some excellent Aboriginal health workers in the different services that I've worked in. We've always done lots of work with Aboriginal communities wherever we go.
And why did you gravitate towards that area, to drugs and alcohol?
I don't know, actually. I think I'd seen sort of personally amongst my friends and my community, I'd seen people with alcohol and drug problems, and I'd always thought that it felt to me like the services out there weren't always doing as good a job as I thought they could do. And I remember just seeing it in my community and thinking I could do a better job than what I'm seeing happening to my friends. Mm. And so that was kind of how I thought, all right, I'm going to see how this works and get into it.
Well, having amassed all of this experience, do we know why people take drugs or, misuse alcohol, seeing as, you know, it's one of those drugs that, doesn't have... is legally available, to 18-year-olds and upwards anyway.
Yeah. Mm. Human societies always use substances for different reasons, and most people that do use substances like alcohol don't misuse it or don't, you know, go overboard with it. But I think where problems develop is often when there are other things going on. And sometimes I know we see a lot of the issues because we work mostly with young people, is that it's around... poor connections with family and community and school and culture and that kind of stuff. And so as people kind of get disconnected and don't have a sense of meaning and purpose in their life, then I think that's when things like alcohol and drugs can fulfil that need for people. And that's when I think people get into a lot of trouble as well. Mm. So a lot of the work we try to do is about thinking about how it is that, you know, we work with services that work with individual people, but we've got to think about how whole communities deal with these problems too, because they're not just individual problems, they're social problems that a whole community has to kind of address.
Mm. Well, tell us about Dovetail then.
So Dovetail is a unique kind of project. We're the only project of its kind in the country. We got set up in 2010 because there'd been a recognition that young people with alcohol and drug problems, they tend to not go to alcohol and drug services. They're often going to youth services or the PCYC, or they're still at school or whatever. So Dovetail was set up not to work directly with young people, but we work with all of those services that those young people come in contact with.
Right.
So whether it's the football coach or If it's their school or if it's the youth service, the Aboriginal Medical Service, whoever it is that's coming across those young people, we support those workers to work with those kids around the alcohol and drug problems. We can't expect kids to come into alcohol and drug services because they don't. We don't have enough of those services around Queensland. We're a huge state. There's a lot of remote communities and there's problems getting services into those areas. So we work with the services that are already there. And often they're people that are already connected to those young people as well. Mm. So they've got relationships with them and we want to keep that going. We're just a small team of four people here in Brisbane, so we can't, no point us making relationships with these young people. It's about building the relationships in their community with the services close by to them. So we support that work to happen.
And in terms of the services being aware of Dovetail, how would you describe that? Is it fairly good?
Yeah, well, I mean, see, we're only four people and Queensland is so big. So we get around a lot. We spend a lot of time on planes. How we tend to do it, though, is we go to a lot of, like, conferences, like the one where you heard me presenting. Because we often present on topical issues that are interesting to people because we know then that's a great way for us to promote ourselves and say, hey, we know information that you guys might find useful and that might help you do your job. So from doing that, we basically have over the years built up the networks and put the word around, and a lot of services see us as helping them out in doing their jobs. So people see us as quite valuable. So if they say a service is building a new project around a particular area, they might ring us up and ask, you know, what does the research say around this area? We're trying to put a funding application together, and we'll go off and do all the research for them and send them all of the stuff. So once people know that we can do that for them, we're pretty popular. Mm. We get a lot of phone calls from people asking for help and can we, because a lot of workers on the front line are so busy doing their day-to-day jobs that doing things like finding really good training is really hard to do, and people don't know where to look and don't have time to do that kind of stuff either. So we try and take the load off the frontline workers by doing the background work for them so they can do their frontline jobs better.
Mm.
So the word gets around. Yeah. People find out about us.
Yeah. Well, as I was saying, I mean, I was listening to you at this conference. It was the Deadly Sex Congress where a lot of the sexual health workers and social and emotional wellbeing workers from Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander health services and primary care services came in to have obviously network and share their stories and that sort of thing, and obviously heard Dovetails. And I imagine what you were saying to them is particularly pertinent because they're also at the front line, and if somebody comes into them, a young person comes into them presenting with some sort of symptoms that they've not seen before, and they're, you know, might be related to a substance that they might have taken or something like that. Mm. So there's that, I guess that's where you make that connection with those people.
Yeah, and substance use in young people cuts across so many different parts of their lives. So that's why we work across all different sectors. And that's actually why we're called Dovetail, because like the Dovetail Joint is about joining up pieces of the puzzle, because, you know, young people's issues, young people aren't problems. The services are often funded around problems, but young people, they're just people. So we have to look at all of the different institutions and services that come across young people. So that's why we say we work with everyone. We love everyone who works with young people. We don't care who you are. We want to see how we can help out.
Now, Cameron, one of the things that has been happening in terms of the drugs that are out there is that it's just grown exponentially from I think the figures are, well, I'll let you tell us what the figures are. I mean, tell us why it's how is this happening? What's going on?
There's been over the last, if you look at the last sort of 30 years of drug trends in the whole world, not just in Australia but the whole world, there's new drugs have come up quite slowly. So a drug like ecstasy was, you know, discovered in the 1930s and then disappeared for a long time. And in the 70s, it came out a little bit. In the 80s is when it started to get popular. It got made illegal in the mid-80s. And then by the mid-90s, the rates of use kept on increasing and increasing. And in Australia, it peaked at about 2008. It was when ecstasy got to its highest sort of point and then fell a bit after that. So it was a sort of 30 years that it took for ecstasy to get from, you know, being obscure to becoming sort of popular. But that curve has now shrunk. And in the last, probably, it's been about the last 10 years that new drugs have been appearing a lot faster, and they're being discovered really quickly. They're being marketed a lot faster and then being sold quicker as well. So now we've got new drugs that can appear within the space of a few weeks.
Mm-hmm.
There's a bunch of different reasons for that, and some of it has been the technology that and the internet has been one way that people have been able to find out about new drugs that exist and also then order them over the internet with their credit card as well.
Mm-hmm.
And that's something that has been quite different. And so probably from about, I think, about 2005, 2006 onwards, the number of new drugs that have been discovered has just gone through the roof. Chemists have been getting molecules of illegal drugs and tweaking the molecule just a tiny little bit so that it may not be 100% illegal but still has a psychoactive effect. And they've been doing that to try and skirt the legal restrictions around substance use. And so as they've done that, they've been creating these new drugs and marketing and selling them.
Mm.
Originally through the internet, but then more recently in shops as well. And so that's sped up. And I think 2012 is the most recent numbers that we've got, but there were 72 new drugs discovered in 2012.
72?
72, yeah. And these are drugs completely unknown to science, so we don't know what the health effects are. We don't know what the potential long-term risks are. The only health effects that we know of are when people consume them and end up in hospital.
In hospital.
Yeah.
People are either buying them on the internet. Are they appearing on shelves of,
They have been. So when they first started to appear, it was mostly online. But then from about the mid-2000s onwards, they started appearing in tobacco shops and sex shops and sort of novelty goods shops as well. And sometimes they were disguised as other products. So people might have heard of a drug being sold called Chronic, which was being sold in tobacco shops. And it was being sold as a potent incense. So the packaging indicated that it was not for human consumption. And by saying that, it meant that it wasn't covered by all the different consumer protection legislation. So these shops were selling it as an incense. But we know that the shop attendants were telling people who were buying it that it's just like pot. You smoke it in a bong, so only have a few cones kind of thing. What we know, though, and people were also being told that it was a mixture of herbs, a safe and natural mixture of herbs, which a lot of people believed at the time, and some people still believe this, that some of these products are somehow safer because they are natural or they're, a combination of herbs or whatever it is. But we know that that's not true, that these particularly Chronic was a herbal product which had a synthetic drug applied on it. And then was being sold through, and initially tobacconists were selling it mostly. And we know that because it was the chemical inside that drug, it was not able to be detected from a urine drug screen. So in regional communities particularly mining communities where people are being drug tested, there was a real demand for this substance from people in those communities. So we saw a really rapid sort of spread of these drugs in regional communities across Queensland. I think WA had a similar experience. Nowhere else in Australia had experienced it the way we did here in Queensland and WA. And that is probably because of the mining. So we saw some of these substances turning up in regional communities, and then attached to that, some of the remote communities that are outliers of those regional centres. And that's really unusual. A drug trend wouldn't usually start in a big city and often would only stay in a big city as well. But a lot of these new substances actually were appearing in the regions first, and we're hearing about it here in Brisbane afterwards.
Yeah. And what about Chronic? I mean, it's just like pot apparently, but what were the... did people get hospitalised from...
Yeah. There's been a number of problems with it. So the original chemical in the Chronic is a chemical called JWH-018, and it's given that code name because it was just a research chemical used in clinical research. It wasn't actually... It's not a drug that's available for people to use for any other reason. So that substance had... there's also... I mean, it's called JWH-018. There's a couple of hundred versions of that, each with a different code number. We don't actually know what is in the ingredients of some of these products. So we know that originally it was JWH-018, but now there's a number of other different ones available as well. So it's been really hard to track which drug causes what problems. But some of the problems that were turning up in hospitals have been mental health problems, especially psychosis, has been a really major issue with some of these synthetic cannabis-type drugs. There's also been seizures and convulsions, so people smoking the product and then having a seizure, which can be really dangerous if they're driving or that people can fall and hit their heads, and that sort of thing has happened as well. There's also been some cardiovascular effects as well, so we know that there have been reports of cardiac events or heart attacks. It's really hard for us to know exactly what chemical has caused that, but we know that that these synthetic cannabinoid is what they're called. These synthetic cannabis products have got a lot more risks associated with them than regular old-fashioned cannabis. Mm. Actually, another one of the problems which has turned up in New Zealand and the US and the UK was acute kidney failure associated with smoking these products. And that's obviously really concerning. Acute kidney failure is really a serious problem, and it's quite tricky to diagnose. No one died from that, but there were a number of cases going through emergency departments in the last 12 months.
But it sounds like, you know, you're having to play catch-up just to find out all this information about what's out there.
That's right.
You mentioned the synthetic cannabis, the cannabinoids. There are different classes of drugs, aren't there?
There's a few different types. So the two most common ones that we've seen here in Australia have been the synthetic cannabis products, which people smoke, just like cannabis, and then there have been the stimulants. And most of the stimulants, some people might have heard of the term bath salts, listeners should know that they have no relationship to bath salts at all, but the people who were selling it just badged it as bath salts so that it could avoid any restrictions on the sale. So they were also being sold as not for human consumption. But the bath salt products contained a stimulant from the cathinone family, and cathinones occur in nature in the kut plant, K-H-A-T, and kut is traditionally used in North Africa. In North African and Middle Eastern communities, people chew the leaf, and, you know, the men will chew the leaf usually and play cards, a bit like coca leaf in South America. But the pure chemical inside that, cathinone, is a very potent stimulant, a lot like methamphetamine.
Mm-hmm.
So a number of these bath salt products contained drugs from that family. The first one was MDPV. But since then, there's probably about 15 or 20 of those similar kinds of drugs which have turned up in what people might know as bath salts.
Mm. Now, what about the opiates? Let's talk about those ones as well. What do we know about what's out there?
We've been really lucky in Australia that we haven't had too many of the new synthetic opiates appear here. They have had some in the Europe and the US, but so far we're pretty sure we haven't had them here in Australia, which we're really glad about, because overseas there have been deaths associated with those drugs, because the opiates being central nervous system depressants, it's pretty easy for people to take too much and stop breathing, or mix them with alcohol or benzos and stop breathing. So we've been pretty lucky to have avoided that one so far. The problem is, though, that when one of these new drugs turns up, we don't have a really good system in place in Australia to track that. We don't have a really good early warning system. So at the moment, how it works is that we, in alcohol and drug sector, we tend to hear about it through the grapevine. We'll hear about it through colleagues that work in emergency departments, and or through particularly doctors talk to other doctors. And so we'll hear about it through the medical community. But we often don't hear about it until it's been around for a little while. So there's a bit of a lag in us catching on to what's going on.
Mm. You mentioned there that some of these new drugs, appear in even in sex shops.
Yep.
So I want to ask you about, is it Xerox or Aerox?
Aerox, yeah. Aerox was the very first of these drugs that ever, that someone ever tried to package up and sell in a retail environment. And these were being sold in Germany and the Netherlands in the mid-90s. And Aerox was a drug called 2CB, which is a hallucinogen. And the manufacturers found a chemical company who'd make it for them, and they packaged it up in some really pretty attractive packaging and started selling it over the counter. It was made illegal after about probably a year or 2 years, and the governments of Germany and the Netherlands restricted it. And it was immediately replaced by a really close relative drug called 2CI. And so that was the first time that we saw the law change, and then the drug manufacturers immediately coming up with something new which replaced it straight away. And that was in 98, 99. That sort of cat and mouse game has carried on. So every time a new drug would be made illegal, the manufacturers would come up with another one. And that's the reason why we had this ever-increasing number of new drugs, because as the law would be changed, the new drugs would more new drugs would appear. And that was the sort of the cat and mouse game that's gone on for a while. So a number of there's been a number of attempts to try and outflank that a bit. Queensland has now got legislation that makes any drug which is similar to an already illegal drug illegal by default, or if a drug is intended to have the effect of an already illegal drug, then that is already is illegal by default. And that's been in place for we're coming up to nearly a year now that that's been in place, and we're still not exactly sure what the impact of it has been. So at the moment, different states around Australia have all tried different approaches, and we're kind of watching and waiting to see which one seems to be working. And at this stage, it's a bit, little bit too early for us to tell exactly how that's worked effectively.
Mm. As I said, these things just I was totally amazed by it as a parent. Should we be worried about this if we have got raising young adults who will eventually want to try out new things?
Yeah.
I mean, is there a good chance that they're going to come across these products that we've been talking about?
We know that the rates of use are widely vary all over Queensland. So there are lots of communities in Queensland that wouldn't be having these drugs at all, and then there are some communities that we know that these are more prevalent. So it really depends on the community people are living in. And we know also that drug trends can change really, really rapidly. So we know that and even you can get two towns just down the road from each other can have completely different drug trends going on at the same time. So what we encourage people to do is keep an eye on your local media, and keep an eye on your local youth interagency and all the local health networks, because often that's where people will identify some of these trends. In terms of, advice for parents, we sort of see all these new substances a lot like the other substances, and the same approaches are used for dealing with these drugs as any other drug in terms of, looking after young people. And that's about keeping young people connected to families and communities and culture, and connected to something of meaning in their lives. And it's it doesn't matter whether it's alcohol or it's tobacco or cannabis or these new synthetic drugs, that's all really the same kinds of approaches, regardless of substance.
Mm, mm. Cameron, just picking up on our discussion there, in terms of the synthetic drugs that are available, where are they being made? Are they being made in camper vans in people's backyards, or are they being made by I don't know, where
legitimate
are they?
Legitimate
businesses, yeah.
Yeah, well, we don't know a huge amount about this, but we do believe a lot of the chemicals are made by legitimate chemical manufacturing companies overseas, and then brought into Australia and then turned into a usable product. So something like Chronic, we suspect that the actual chemical may have been imported, and then it was applied to the plant, maybe over here or in New Zealand, and then packaged up and on-sold. We don't know a huge amount about that, about where that's come from, but that we think that is how it started. I mean, a lot of these, the process of making these chemicals is not straightforward. So it's not like people can go to the chemist and go home and cook something up like Breaking Bad, because a lot of these chemicals are still really, really new as well, and there's still not a lot known about how they are made and stuff like that.
And what its adverse health effects might be.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah. And so what about Chronic itself? I mean, there was a lot of attention about this.
Mm.
Is it still being sold?
Yeah. Well, the chemical in Chronic is illegal in Queensland. It's actually illegal in all states of Australia now and federally. But we do hear anecdotally we take phone calls from health services all around Queensland, and we are still receiving phone calls from services saying that young people have been using these substances. So we're not sure where that's coming from. I mean, just like people do access illegal drugs too. So we suspect that since the laws changed, that some of these drugs are still in circulation and have probably moved into the illegal drug market, just like cannabis and speed and those other drugs, because we are still getting phone calls with young people having problems, and even up until in the last couple of weeks, we still get phone calls from mental health units and emergency departments, especially where they're reporting young people coming in, and not just young people, but people coming in experiencing problems from these drugs.
Mm.
So they are still in circulation.
All right. What about some of the emerging ones now that we should we should be aware of?
Yeah, it's really hard for us to keep up to date with what is going on, but we know that in the last 12 months there have been some synthetic hallucinogens that have been sold as LSD, which don't contain LSD, and there's been a drug called 2,5-INBOME or NBOME, and the NBOME series of drugs, they're all hallucinogens, which have been sold as LSD, but that's resulted in a few deaths in Australia. And there was the high-profile death of Henry Kwan, the young Sydney high school student last year who consumed this substance and jumped off his balcony in front of his mum and little sister, which was actually the second death of that type, where there was another young person also jumped off a balcony on the same substance about 6 months prior to that. So that at the moment is one that we're quite concerned about, particularly because we know that some of the deaths have happened where people have just consumed what they believe to be a small dose of that drug. So, you know, in one case, one guy took only one tablet of that substance and passed away from that. So we're quite concerned about that one at the moment. And also most of the deaths from that drug have been in young people aged under 18 as well, which is a real concern. So I think, you know, 15 to 18-year-olds have been the ones that have been using that. So at the moment, that's the one that we've been watching. But like I say, we start watching them after we hear about deaths, which is quite sad that that's what it sort of takes for us, because we don't quite have the surveillance in place to work out what's in circulation. And because it's being sold as LSD, it's being sold. This one is not being sold in shops. It's being sold in the illicit drug market. And so that market is so much more hidden that we really don't know what's going on in the illicit market. And we don't hear about that until there have been problems from it as well.
Are young people generally aware of the risks associated with taking, synthetic drugs
We think that, we believe anecdotally that some young people think that if they purchase like synthetic cannabis from a shop or in nice packaging, that they are believing that it may be safer because it looks professional. The packaging of some of them do look like any other product you'd buy in a shop. And something like Chronic, you know, it was being marketed as containing all natural herbs. And so people have this belief that, oh, it's all natural, it's herbs, if it's all natural, it must be safe. So there has been a bit of a perception that these drugs may be safer than illegal drugs and other illegal powders or cannabis or whatever. We're pretty convinced that most of them are as dangerous, if not more dangerous, than some of the other illicit drugs, because we've seen what's been occurring in the emergency departments and mental health units.
And I saw one that's been marketed as chocolate or something or other. Was it chocolate?
Yeah, there was chocolate cannabis. Just like a chocolate milkshake, only smoky. That was an example of one of the sort of clever marketing approaches that people were using in these products. And so for a while there, they were the people marketing them were trying to send a wink-wink to the audience about, you know, that this contains something like cannabis. So they put obscure drug references in the packaging, and chocolate cannabis was one of those. But, I mean, a product like that would be definitely illegal in Queensland right now, because if it's being sold as something which is designed to have the effects of an already illegal drug, it is therefore illegal by default. So the laws in Queensland have stopped that kind of thing, that sort of, you know, really overt drug references in that sort of packaging. But we know they've been really using standard retail marketing approaches of attractive packaging,
And in terms of, you know, the young people themselves, I mean, are there certain socioeconomic groups who are using certain drugs? I mean, is there that kind of, are you noticing trends there in terms of, well, you know, kids who have come from a well-to-do background might be having higher end, sort of access to higher end drugs, and ones that don't have the means? What are the trends saying there?
It's actually really, really diverse. I mean, we have seen particularly the synthetic cannabis products being used by really diverse ranges of people. So in some communities, you know, the stereotype is the more wealthy miners, maybe, who've got lots of disposable income. But we know homeless young people in different communities pooling their cash as well and going to a tobacconist and buying this stuff too. So we really have seen not too many differences across the communities. We've seen and I suppose it's one of the things that's been a bit different about these new synthetic substances and the synthetic analog drugs is that they've really been used by a very broad range of people very quickly, whereas generally drug trends start in particular populations and then maybe spread throughout a community. These substances have been used by ranges of different people and in ranges of different geographical locations too, and including reports from remote Indigenous communities as well. That's been quite rare, but we have heard of cases in remote community as well. And we generally wouldn't see a new synthetic drug trend appear in a remote community. That's something that is kind of unusual. But Western Australia has seen a similar kind of thing as well.
Mm. You know, I'm sure you're aware that smoking rates are fairly high for Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander communities. We have seen a drop, though, in those rates. And I wonder, and a drop also in the take-up rate of smoking. Is that the same as well with, you know, with illicit drugs and that sort of thing?
It's really hard to track any illicit drug trends mm-hmm. because we often, illicit drugs being illicit means people don't want to admit that they're
using. They don't, yeah, come forward.
And yeah, mm-hmm. and so we've got, we also have problems with the massive regional variation. So like I said before, you can have one town which could have lots and lots of cannabis use
yep.
and just down the road, very little.
Mm.
We know that overall, like in looking at all of Australia in the last 10 years, that the cannabis use has been declining across most of the population. There's been a really slight increase in the last couple of years. Having said that, I bet heaps of listeners out there are thinking, I know in my community cannabis has been increasing, and that can be true. You know, that
yep.
can be because your town maybe has a pot dealer living in it who sells lots of pot.
Mm-hmm.
So the drug trends are very tricky to monitor. We know anecdotally that in the last probably 2 years there's been an increase in methamphetamine use around Australia, but also in Queensland.
Mm-hmm.
I think Victoria probably noticed that trend first, but we've been hearing reports from all over Queensland of increased methamphetamine use amongst the whole population, but young people as well. And that's been crystal methamphetamine or ice, which
yeah.
people might be familiar with.
Yeah, yeah. All right. Well, look, just to wrap up, I mean, what advice would you have, one, to perhaps a health worker who's listening or a youth worker that's listening to this particular broadcast and indeed, of course, to a parent or even a young person? We do have young people who are listening to this broadcast in our training centre, so I suspect that they're going to want you to go and have a yarn with them after this interview. But what advice would you give to people?
Well, for the for health workers or anyone working with someone who you think might be using these types of substances, we know that when you're doing your assessment and chatting with someone, you have to ask a few different questions now, because we know that in the past health workers are really good at asking about smoking and asking about drinking, but we know you really have to ask about, you know, are there any other sorts of products that you use? And the language is evolving over time, so we have to ask questions like, do you use any herbal products? Do you use any legal highs? Do you use any party pills? There's all different sorts of words that people are using, and in different parts of Queensland they've got different terminology as well. So we are encouraging health workers to ask a range of different questions about what someone might be using, including herbal products or anything like that. And then if someone is using one of these products, to find out what it's called, what the brand name of it is. If you're not sure, jump on Google and just do a Google search for it, because some of these drugs have been sold on the internet. And if someone tells you they're using Blue Mystic, you might be able to track it down on Google and find out what that might be.
Mm.
I think if you are coming across people that are using these drugs, it is worth having a discussion with them about the risks involved of using drugs where we don't know what the effects might be. A lot of young people especially are sceptical of these health messages, and they don't want to listen to that kind of stuff. So we have to have a good relationship with them first to have that conversation.
Yeah.
So in a lot of ways, we've got to go back to basics with how we work with young people that use drugs, and that's about building good relationships and strengthening their connections to community, family, culture. While these new drugs have got some health effects that we're really concerned about, we have to not get sort of distracted by that and just remember that it is just like all the other drug and alcohol problems we've got in our community, and we deal with it in the same way.
Mm.
And that's about connections and meaning and purpose and belonging in a community.
Yeah, yeah, and not seeing them as a problem, as I say. Cameron, in terms of Dovetail itself, if there are any interested parties listening to this and they do have a concern about this particular issue or want to connect with their young people to educate them about these sorts of issues, what's the best way to get in touch with you guys?
Give us a ring. We love to hear from anyone around Queensland. And so our phone number is 3837 5621. We're in the office from Monday to Friday, so give us a ring and have a chat. We're interested if you're working with a young person that you think might be using one of these substances or any substance at all, really, and you want to have a chat, give us a call. We're really happy to help out however we can. And if we don't know the answer, or if we don't, you know, have an answer, we will probably know someone else who will, and so we can put you in touch with the right kind of people.
All right. And just for those parents, any handy websites to have a look at?
Probably for the parents, I reckon the best contact would be the Alcohol and Drug Information Service, or ADIS. They've got there's a 1-800 number that they've got, which I can't remember, but I'll
have a look. Yep.
Find that and we'll chuck it on the website.
Excellent.
But the Alcohol and Drug Info Service offers a 24/7 telephone line, which anyone in Queensland can ring anytime. And they're great for parents. They've got excellent information and referrals to services if they need it.
Fantastic. Cameron, thanks so much for joining us today on Let's Talk.
Thanks for having me.
And don't forget those numbers again for Dovetail, 3837 5621, or the Queensland Alcohol and Drug Info Service, 1800 177 833. I'm Karen Durante. Thanks for listening.